This is a podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. And our spot on the map this morning is a little town at the junction of two pretty important rivers in northern New South Wales. It's a town with a connection to one of Australia's most popular cricketers of all time, and also, well, a very important guest drove through in the 1950s. We are talking about the little town of Corakai in northern New South Wales, where Ron Parker is a long-time resident and also the man who's been running the Historical Society Museum there for about 25 years. Ron, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Rod.
Now, let's start with the where. Where exactly is Corakai?
Well, Corakai is located on the Richmond River. It's approached on the highway from Woodburn. It's at the junction of the main arm and the northern arm of the Richmond River, at a place which was originally known just as a junction, but later it was given the name of Corakai, which is actually a corruption of an Aboriginal word meaning meeting of the waters.
Well, don't all Aboriginal place names mean meeting of the waters?
They generally have something to do with it, don't they? Well, I guess they like to have a good supply of water.
Well, that's so important in those days, exactly right. Yeah. So that's what Corakai means. And when you're talking about the Richmond River, we are talking about northern New South Wales. The town, I suppose, most associated with the Richmond River would be which one, do you think?
Lismore.
Lismore, exactly, which, yeah, I think is on the Richmond and the Wilson Rivers.
Yes, well, the Wilson River is what I previously mentioned as the north arm of the Richmond River.
Okay. So we are talking about far north New South Wales. How far inland is Corakai?
Oh, as the crow flies, probably about 16 to 20 k's, I suppose.
So fairly near to the coast?
Yes, quite close to the coast.
All right. How many people live in Corakai?
Currently about 1,500. Mm-hmm. In its heyday, there were about 5,000 people here. When I came here 30 years ago, there were 900. There's now roughly 1,500.
Okay, so there's been a bit of a boost in population in the last few years. Why is that happening?
Oh, I think younger people moving in and cheap houses. Whilst there's not much industry in Corakai, it's fairly close to Lismore and Casino, and they can commute for work. Most of the industry in the area is farming industry.
Right.
In the past, of course, it's a lot of dairying and that type of thing, which in recent years has dropped off, and now it's more beef cattle. And then, of course, we have the sugar industry, which was introduced here in, I think it was in the 1860s.
What about, say, the timber industry, which I know is very strong in that part of the world? Well, was that ever part of Corakai?
That is what brought people to this area in the first place, was the cedar.
Cedar, the yes. Cedar,
which unfortunately was worked out very quickly.
Yeah.
But even later, and even today, there's the hardwoods and things like that that are still obtained from this area.
Okay. So that boom time in Corakai, or the peak of its population, when was that?
Probably in the up till about the 1950s, I'd say, and perhaps a little bit later. And Corakai had a very busy shipping industry here. Coastal steamers coming up from from Sydney and Melbourne and places.
Were down from Brisbane as well?
And Brisbane. Yep. And bringing supplies in and taking out the timber and dairy products and such like. In the early part, virtually all travel was by the river. There were no roads or even tracks.
Yes.
And it depended on the river. And William Yabsley set up here in 1849, at which time, incidentally, Casino consisted of one shop and one hotel.
Right.
And Lismore was just a small cattle station.
So that was in 1849. So Corakai was just really a spot on the map then. No one was living there. Why did William Yabsley decide to set up the town there?
Well, there were people here before that, but he gets credit for being the first permanent settler. He actually came overland from the Clarence, where most of the early settlement was. Yep. That's where they got the timber. And many of them eventually moved overland, the timber cutters and that, because they worked out the timber down in that area. And they moved north here and set up various settlements. And Corakai was used because of the river.
Right.
Many of the smaller vessels couldn't go beyond Corakai. the river is not navigable to Casino, and only the smaller vessels could go on to Lismore. So a lot of transshipping took place here. There were about five wharves down along the river there, fronting the, where the town is now.
Okay.
And we have quite a good photo in the museum of three large seagoing vessels tied up with various wharves along there. And it was quite a busy town in that regard.
And you have been running that museum, the Mid-Richmond Historical Society Museum, for, well, about a quarter of a century. Let's go back, though, to when you're talking about, and a little bit after that. People need to know how important that coastal shipping was. We don't see as much of it today, obviously.
Oh, no, well,
but,
of course.
But the coastal shipping from, I suppose, Melbourne to Sydney, and then Sydney up to Brisbane, and then stopping all the way along the coast of New South Wales, and then going inland on those big, big rivers, including the Wilson and the Richmond, that was vitally important.
Oh, very important, yes. And all life virtually rotated around the rivers, and it was very important. But the setback to Coracoi came about around the middle of the last century, when road and rail transport began to take over, being much quicker, of course, and more reliable, because there were a terrible lot of ships lost along the coast in those early days, particularly with the old sailing ships.
Course.
Which were very much at the mercy of the weather.
So how did the ships or the steamers going up the coast get to Coracoi? Where did they turn inland?
Ballina.
Okay.
Which had a, and still has today, a very dangerous bar, and many vessels were lost there, and it continues to be a big worry.
The rivers are so important in that part of New South Wales, aren't they?
That's correct, yes.
And so these days, what sort of vessels do you see on the Wilson and the Richmond at Coracoi?
Very few, unfortunately. The river's very much underutilised now, which is a shame, because some of these coastal rivers are beautiful, you know, as you go up into the higher reaches and away from the ocean.
But what about even pleasure craft and water skiing and things like that?
Oh, yes. Well, Coracoi has always been very popular water skiing sport here, and they still have it quite regularly.
Do they have the Coracoi Assault?
A bridge to bridge between Coracoi and Woodburn and back.
And how far is that, do you reckon?
Hard to judge by river. It's about 18 kilometres by road, and river would be perhaps a little bit longer, if anything.
Okay, we're talking about Coracoi in northern New South Wales, and Ron Parker is our guest this morning. And it's pretty close to the border of Queensland as well. How far away would that be, do you think?
Well, these days it's about an hour
by
road. The highway up here, of course, is still being updated. A lot of
really?
It still only single lane, you know, one lane each way.
That's right, single
but
carriageway.
A lot of work is being carried out at the present time.
About time, I would say.
Not before time. It should have been done 30 years ago, really.
Exactly right, yes. So it's founded round about 1849 by William Yabsley,
yes.
And then there's a lot of industry happening, and obviously the river is the central part of that. And that goes for maybe 100 years. What happens then in the wake of, say, World War II? Is that when the car starts to take over? What else was going on?
As I said, there's never been any great amount of industry here. It's been mostly around the farms. And with the dropping off of the dairy industry around about that time, of course, in 1882 we had, in the 1860s, sugar cane was introduced to this area by Reverend Tom, THOM. It became quite a popular industry here. And they had a few private mills operating here in the early days. And then in 1882, the Colonial Sugar Refinery built the big refinery at Broadwater. And so all the sugar cane now goes there to be...
Okay, so that's still open to today?
Still operating, yes.
And is sugar cane still a big industry? Because I know it is all up and down that part of the coast. Sugar cane is very important.
Oh, I think you could safely say it is the main industry in this area. In about the 1920s, 1926, I think that era, they started refining some of the tea tree using the local, natural tea tree in the early days, and they began producing the tea tree oil in recent times. Of course, now they have they grow it, you know, like to for the industry. That's become quite a good big industry in the area too.
In fact, Corakai really is the tea tree town, isn't it?
It's known as the home of the tea tree, yes.
Yeah, wow. In fact, you've got the tea tree prize or the arts prize, the Corakai tea tree art prize.
That's right, yes.
So we're talking about painting, drawing, photography, sculpture.
Mainly painting.
Yep.
Yes, mainly oil paintings. Well, various kinds of paintings.
So we know that in some parts of northern New South Wales, there is a bit of a hippie feeling, especially in the Richmond Valley. Is that the case in Corakai? Do you have a lot of hippies in town? No?
No, not many hippies.
Ah, why not?
I don't know.
I thought they'd be really into that tea tree oil.
I don't think it's the tea tree oil they think about. No, they've got interest in growing other things, which I won't mention. I'm sure you know.
But you would welcome hippies into town, wouldn't you?
Not too many.
Really?
Okay. We still have quite a large population of the Aboriginals in this area.
Okay, good. Well, let's talk about that. Let's find out what happened prior to 1849 when William Yabsley sort of established the town. What was the Indigenous history prior to that?
Oh, well, there were many Aboriginals in this area.
These were the Bundjalung people?
They were the Bundjalung people, yes.
And in fact, it was their word, Gurugay, I think, that Corakai was sort of amended from.
Yes, and that word was sort of corrupted to Corakai, and which supposedly means meeting of the waters.
And so what were they doing at that time? And had they'd been there for tens of thousands of years?
Oh, yes. Well, they lived along the river. They fished, and I think they went to the coast and up to shellfish and that type of thing, they lived rough, of course.
But, yeah. And then what happened once white settlement started to take place?
Well, of course, they became very much displaced in that they couldn't get to their hunting grounds and such like, which they very much resented.
Yes.
Which is quite understandable.
Of course, and were there problems at the time?
Oh, there were problems, yes, between the whites and the blacks. Because the Aboriginals have a different way of living to what we do. We sort of claim ownership of various things, whereas that with the Aboriginals, it seemed to be that it was communal property, and they shared everything.
The hippies have learnt that communal sharing, haven't they?
Yes, well, that's the way they work, yes. And it's probably not a bad thing, really.
So how would you characterise the relationship between black and white in Corakai these days?
It's variable. Okay. They're fairly quiet these days, but there has been a lot of trouble in the past.
Okay. Now, speaking of hippies, though, and I don't want to dwell on these hippies that don't come to Corakai, but you did have a Bob Dylan Fest. Is that on every year?
Bob Dylan Fest? No, I don't know about
2010,
that.
The Bob Dylan Fest. The first Dylan Fest celebrated the music, art and poetry of Bob Dylan in October at the Corakai Hotel in 2010.
Oh, well, the hotel might have put something on like that, yes. I don't frequent the hotel, I'm afraid.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's quite possible. I mean, they do put on different things. Incidentally, there were six hotels here in its heyday, but there's only one operating.
There's only one hotel. What's that, the Corakai Hotel?
That's the Corakai Hotel, which was formerly known as the Bottom Pub.
Of course. What happened to the Top Pub?
We had the Top Pub and the middle pub and the Bottom Pub. And
gone.
Well, the Top Pub, unfortunately, was burned down three times.
Oh. Seems a little unfortunate.
The late 1800s, it burned down and they rebuilt it. And after a few years, it burned down again and they rebuilt it. And after the third time, they didn't bother building it again.
Why bother?
And it probably wasn't needed anymore by that time anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So is the Corakai Hotel the centre of life in the town?
Well, I guess you could say it is pretty well.
But you don't go there.
No, I don't.
So what else do people do for fun in Corakai?
Well, there's mostly the sporting, of course.
Yeah. Cricket, rugby league, rugby union?
Rugby league, I think, mainly.
Right, okay.
Of course, Corakai has produced some well-known...
That's what I want to know about.
Richie Benno, for instance.
Richie Benno came from Corakai? Really? What was he? He lived there? He wasn't born there, was he?
He was born in this area, yes.
Born in Corakai, all round about.
And one of his relatives, I'm not quite sure of the relationship, whether it was his uncle or his grandfather, was Louis Benaud. Louis Benaud produced the first newspaper in Corakai in 1886.
Wow, okay.
Richmond River Herald. Okay. But there was a, they were related. Another boy from Corakai was Ron Casey.
The well-known sporting commentator.
Yes, there's Casey's Lane just over the river from Corakai here.
What, he was born there or what?
Yes, where the Casey's lived, yes.
Good Lord, okay.
No, we had the, they used to have the rowing championships here. There was Jim and Evans Padden raced here and Snowy Burns.
Okay.
World championships.
What about some rugby league players? If Corakai is a rugby league town, any well-known players come from Corakai or that area?
Not that I'm aware of.
Any other well-known people come through Corakai at some point? Queen, the Prime Minister, the Governor...
The Queen came through.
The Queen came to Corakai.
In 1954, yes.
Wow.
In the flood time.
Yeah, what did she do?
I'll just pass through.
Well, everyone stood there and waved at her.
Yeah. She was coming through from Lismore, of course she'd stayed overnight in Lismore, and she drove through and they made the names road through here at Queen Elizabeth Drive.
Before she drove through or after?
No, after she drove through, yes. They named it Queen Elizabeth Drive.
Isn't that wonderful?
It was formerly known as the Woodburn Casino Road.
Oh, okay.
And they renamed it.
So where was she going? She was going from Casino,
She would have been heading to Sydney, I think, eventually.
Via Corakai? Driving all the way down?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Well, that's pretty exciting for Corakai for the Queen to come through.
Well, it created quite a bit of excitement at the time, but of course I wasn't here then. I didn't come here till 1983.
Uh-huh. Why did you go to Corakai, Ron?
I've been asked that many times, and believe it or not, it was the last resort, which I've never regretted.
When you say the last resort, what, the last town in New South Wales that'd take you?
No, not quite that bad.
Okay, all right.
We had my late wife and I had a daughter living in Ballina, and when we came from Sydney when I retired, and we stayed with her for 3 months while we looked around for something to buy. And we had a Ballina estate agent drove us around all day. Went through Lismore and up through Bangalore and down to Evans Head and all around the place. Couldn't find anything to suit. And as the last resort, the agent said, "How about Corakai?" And neither of us had ever been to Corakai, so we said, "Oh, well, what the heck, we might as well go and have a look." And we pulled up in front of this house, and my wife fell in love with it on sight. And here we are. Fortunately, my dear wife died 2 years ago.
I'm very sorry to hear that, Ron.
But anyway.
But the town would have, you know, really supported you. It's that kind of town?
Yes. We've made a lot of friends here. My wife was a porcelain artist, and she
really
took up teaching here. She was teaching locals to China paint.
Mm-hmm.
And we had quite a lot of students came here.
Okay. So what would you say to people who might be in the area or going through the area at this time of the year? Why should they go and visit Corakai?
Well, I've got to get this plug in. We've got a very good museum here.
Yeah, of course, yes. Where exactly is the museum, Ron?
The museum is in Adam Street, which is one of the main streets of Corakai.
Yep. And what can people see at the museum?
We stick to things of local interest or the local history. We have a room devoted to life on and around the river.
Yep.
And then, of course, we have the usual sort of things you find in a museum, things that people used in the early days and things like that. We have a machinery shed with some interesting displays in it. And of course, we've got lots of files about the local history and I think something like 200 family files like relating to various local families.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do a bit of research on their families and that type of thing.
What do you think the future of Corakai is?
Oh, I don't know that it's ever going to get very much bigger, I don't think. There is no industry here. It's basically a place where people can live and then they go and they travel to casino or Lismore to work.
Yeah.
Well, quite a few of them find employment down at the sugar mill at Broadwater.
Of course, okay. Mm. All right, it sounds like a beautiful town on a very beautiful stretch of the river. And Ron, thank you so much for telling us about Corakai this morning.
You're welcome, Rod. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And that's Ron Parker from the Mid-Richmond Historical Society Museum in Corakai in northern New South Wales, our spot on the map this morning. Well, that's another podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.